horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Beck.
Very good Tuesday, race fans from Sanibel Island. For the first time ever. happy to be with you. And Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening that way. And that's a good idea. Not on the website today. I'm saying that, and you can't hear it. You'll have to pick it up later. And I really should put this. I didn't get a chance to put it on Twitter because we've been doing a bunch of things. But sorry about yesterday. That was a really strange thing. And great job by Casey. No kidding. He worked on it all day. He literally, and finally, it did turn out that the stream computer, we go through a bunch of computers every year, year and a half. There's one for streaming. There's one that records the show that then gets uploaded. And then there's even a third that Casey's got on hand, which is phone numbers and whatever else. But they burn out. Literally, the mic within the streaming computer was just on, and there was no indication. So that's what the noise was on the stream yesterday. So we're going to either get a new computer or swap out computers. Casey's got a backup that he thinks might work, but he's still on it. So the podcast and the archive will be up about an hour after the show. All right? So those that were looking and found it tough, just you can basically pretend that 1 o'clock to 4 is 9 to noon. That's our suggestion. A busy day Tuesday, still got some weekend recapping to do, but it is the kickoff to the biggest two-year-old in training sale of any kind, anywhere. 4 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and over 1,000 two-year-olds will change hands over the next 4 days. At OBS, we'll talk to Tom Ventura in about 10 minutes, 10, 12 minutes or so, and get the sale started. 10:30, they will begin to send them through under gavel. And there's something for everybody. I know that's a trite way to describe this lineup, but, there's literally the regional, actually, the I guess at the first break, how am I going to do this? I got my two catalogs. They're in the beach bag. We were on the beach yesterday with Tina, and I'm going through the catalog. So I got the online version right in front of me, so I can pull anything up we need. But there's such a wide variety that is there. Regional breads, and modest. What'll be very modest. Opportunities, really, every budget and every interest. There's going to be, some big siblings available and, some two-year-olds that fetched big numbers as yearlings, looking some of the pinhook operations, looking to, spin. Fairly big six-figure yearling purchases into big two-year-old numbers. Here's an Uncle Mo, and I didn't check outs, but here's an Uncle Mo that was $310,000 in September. Niall Brennan consigning hip 189 Uncle Mo Philly out of Birdie Numb Buffalo. Bloodstock bought this filly. Then there's, here's a New York bred that Nick Demerick's got that was a $25,000 OBS yearling purchase, New York bred, 219, a colt, 25,000. So, I mean, it's all over the place. Should be very, very entertaining. I've got some hips. There's a couple today, a couple tomorrow that we'll try again. Got shut out in March. So we'll give it a shot. We'll talk to Tom. And actually, Ray Handel is going to swing through. Ray is down there. And so we'll get Ray's opinion, and we'll see how he's approaching the sale. He's going to join us probably at the bottom of the hour on the heels of that very impressive Open Company that was just spectacular, breaking the maiden by 18 lengths, and that included our own Scherzando chasing him in that maiden win, and then he parlayed it into the Whiteley victory on Saturday at Laurel. So Ray's 91 buyer. Ray's got something has got something going here with this one. Disco Pharaoh, Kinder and Woolsey bred, Parentime Thoroughbreds and Blue Lion. They own this one and made the 4-year-old debut in that race against us. And boy, just blew it out. So we'll see what Ray's got in mind, because this is obviously a talent. And what's interesting is that race, the maiden race that he won. That was 6.5.
This was 7.8.
He's an American Pharaoh out of a mineshaft mare. So everything says on the page that this one should stretch out. Now, that was only career start 4. This was a $255,000 Timonium purchase as a 2-year-old. So, clearly was, they clearly thought that this one was okay. Didn't debut until November. Ray has been taking advantage by keeping a string at Turfway. We could talk to him about that too. And he tried Disco Pharaoh on the synthetic, and actually he ran pretty good. He actually debuted at Aqueduct in what was Core Convictions maiden breaker. So Disco Pharaoh, we'll talk to Ray Handel, and he's in Ocala. We'll talk to Hammy Smith. We'll stay on the Laurel scene, because Luna Bell, speaking of winners, stake winners and streaking stake winners, 5 straight. We talked to Hammy, I think, in December after she won the Maryland Juvenile Filly Championship. And now has won 5 straight stakes, the Juvenile Fillies, Maryland Million. She won the Extra Heat, the Wide Country, the Beyond the Wire, and then the Weber City Miss. This is some nice filly. And, it's funny, I have to tell Hammy, because Tina, when we were coming down here, Thursday night, we got as far as North Carolina. And then she said, well, we got plenty of time before we get down here. And so you can get one thing that you want to do. She gave me carte blanche on one thing. And so I said, well, let's stop in Ocala. Let's stop at OBS. And I can look at a handful of these fillies that we're interested in. And then we drove right through Holly Hill and through South Carolina, and I realized, oh my God, we could have stopped at Ellery. We could have gone to see Gory Smith, Hammy's brother, and I've never been. Aiken, could have gone to Aiken. And Dina said, you had one shot at it. You let me go to the Equestrian Center, she says. I had already been. I brought you to see the Equestrian Center. Wow. I'll tell you. You know, the beach is calling your name. How are the shells? Yeah, you got some? I put up a thing. I put up, it's actually a tongue-in-cheek postcard. Shell Beach, for those of you that are Dark City fans, the shells. It's just everything you've ever heard about Sanibel and about the unbelievable seashells that are just literally rolling up into your hand. They ain't kidding. And I'm dopey for I've always ever since I was a kid, I've always loved. It's pretty amazing when you think about it. I mean, it's like you know, they're bubbling up out of the sea. It's crazy. So I've enjoyed that portion. Okay, who else? What else? Tom Ventura, Ray Handel, Hammy Smith in this hour. Next hour, John Dooley will begin to visit with John on a regular basis. Handicaps him Indiana, where the I almost said wind comes sweeping down the plain, but that's Oklahoma. They were the moonlight on the Wabash. There we go. the opening day of Horseshoe Indianapolis, Horseshoe Indy, and John Dooley. Yeah, we'll talk. You know, I didn't get a chance when we were in New Orleans. We did not get that chance to have sort of a, you know, kind of a sit down with John. Because obviously, this is, you know, it's a wonderful opportunity, and obviously he's thrilled. And as Eric Hallstrom told you last week, I mean, to get a John Dooley, you know, is a real gift. In fact, and listen, Bill Downs, terrific. But when you get a guy like Dooley who has been, you know, calling at Mid America's two principal A tracks during the course of a year. I mean, Arlington, spring, summer, and Fairgrounds, winter. It's a rare opportunity. So it's got to be some I mixed emotions. We'll see. We'll see. We'll ask John. Let John answer it. I don't have to answer for John. He'll tell you exactly how he feels. Andy Serling a little early today. Andy left me a middle of the night message that said 10:30 today, if it's okay. I said or tomorrow, but we'll take Andy at 10:30. Talk to him about the weekend and more. I think Scott Hazleton later. I think. I think Scott. Yesterday I heard from him late in the afternoon, so I think Scott Hazleton's going to join us for a little Keeneland recapping. All right, and Popo on it's Tuesday, so we'll catch up with Popo late in the show as well. And you know, form to win. You know, in addition to, and by the way, it made me think of Hong Kong and last week we had the nice score, but Dick sent me a note. He's in the hospital at Saratoga. He's in Saratoga Hospital, so he's out for, and he's not sure. He's didn't sound alarming, but it, you know, it's never good. But he says he's not sure when he's getting out, so we may not have Dick tomorrow to do Happy Valley, but send best wishes along, obviously, to Dick. Okay. So there we go. I just want to let me get this. I want to get this note out to people so that they understand where, why there's, why we're not. There we go. All right. All right, folks. There's your answer on the stream. Okay. So we'll yeah, just pass the word, I guess. Yeah, the easiest solution is is a subscription to SiriusXM. That's the quickest, most effective way. I mean, I don't. It's funny. I don't really bang that drum as much, probably as I should. But you know, even just getting, you can just get SiriusXM online. They've got the limited way to, you know, to listen. You don't have to have the full subscription, you know, to the car and stuff. Just you know, it's right there. So that's just an easy, there's an easy fix, all right? Tom Ventura going to join us here, and we'll talk about the sale. And we'll get going, all right? A couple of little pieces of news while we wait for Tom. And I honestly did not even bother to, you know, dive into the latest court denial. Simply put, no court relief in Kentucky for Amr Zidane and for Bob Baffert. So that continues. If you want to read a fascinating piece, and I. Normally on a Tuesday would reach for Dr. Allday. We haven't talked to Steve in way too long. But there is a terrific and very exciting piece to musculoskeletal injury solution, essentially, that Dan Ross wrote. And this is exciting, and we'll do something with Dr. Allday too, or maybe Dr. Palmer. We'll get you know, some of the people that have been involved here, and we talked about this with the monitors.
I got to do a radio call.
There he is. There's Tom Ventura in the background. Tommy, good morning.
Oh, sorry, Steve. I'm doing good. I'm looking at
that's
a horse
okay
right now.
No, you're hey. Why not? What are you looking at? What hip?
Hip number 169.
All right, let's see what we got here. 169. Who's consigning?
To Grassroots.
Very good. Let me see. I'm just
digging
beautiful through.
Day today.
Well,
absolutely
first,
gorgeous.
Well, you deserve it. That's an upstart filly. 169. An upstart. Upstart's hot. Upstart is hot.
Yeah, one of the upstarts, Kathleen O on the Kentucky Oaks Trail. She came out of this sale.
Well, and of course Corniche as well last year that went on to the Juvenile Championship. Kathleen O sitting in a prime spot toward the Kentucky Oaks. Tom, you know, off of March. And obviously, we were there for the first couple of days, and it just feels like, you know, feels like you're in position. The demand for horses is high, and you know, the market strong, and this is the biggest opportunity that buyers are going to have this spring.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't be more excited. We've got so many nice horses here, and consigners, you're so confident in the market. Place here, put 1,200 horses, you know you're going to get the buyers, and obviously looking at the catalog cover has been super productive in all parts of the world.
How's you know? And I didn't see you. I didn't get a chance to see you Friday evening. Tina and I were driving to Sanibel, and I said I want to stop at OBS. And you know, there was only going to be a certain time window, so we got there close to five, and things had gotten quiet. But we walked around and looked at four. Phillies in the stalls and just got a chance to eyeball them. Talk about traffic and the expectation for later, basically an hour from now.
Well, I think, you know, if we pick up where we left off in March, and I don't see any reason why we won't, it should be a very good sale. The horses, you know, the weather was nice. We had a little hiccup the one day with the rain, and this track, you know, does a wonderful job draining and handling the rain, so you know we had to take a 2-hour break on one of the days, but the track was fair throughout, and the traffic in the barns has been very good. We see people, you know, that we normally see at the sales. We see a lot of some new faces. The international presence is good, and we've got quality throughout. You know, one of the things we got, you know, not only the Tappets and the Intermischiefs and the Curlins, we have this first crop. There's a helicopter going over, if that's interfering. We've got, you know, tremendous first crop sires. You know, this may be as deep a group of first crop sires that we've had in a long time. And they're looking the part on the track and, you know, at the end of a shank. So I'm very excited to get things going.
Well, and I'm just looking, you know, I hate reducing the evaluation of sale prospects to just the breeze time, but there really was a good group that went in 10 flat or less, and they, you know, they catch the attention immediately, and you know, then when you go to the sub 21 quarters, those are put on the top of a lot of lists immediately, and from that standpoint, we should, you know, we can anticipate, you know, quite a bit of interest. I'm just looking at today, and it does seem like today some of the fastest breezers that'll go through the ring day one breezed a quarter, Tom, as it happens. That War Front for Eddie Woods that went in 20-1. Eddie also had a Violence filly. Both of these are fillies that went in 20-2, and they'll let's hip 199 went in 20-2. That's the Violence, and 276 the War Front went in 20-1. I'm sure they're, you know, going to be top of the page today.
Yeah, those horses, both of those horses went on what turned out to be the quickest day of the track. We had some 40 degree weather. The track gets a little firmer when it's colder, and it's like back-to-back days, and but those horses certainly showed up and performed, and they looked the part at the barn. You know, the War Front as a special pedigree, so
yeah,
I think you know, that horse will certainly float to the top. We have a very nice Uncle Mo that's selling today. Justify, I think, will kick off the sale early. It should sell well. It's a very deep, deep group of horses, and couldn't be more appreciative of the consigners, you know, supporting us. And certainly the market is here, and they believe in it, and the buyers, you know, have been rewarded with some very top horses. We had a grade one winner in Australia for the first time, a Mizzen Mast filly called Lighthouse, that L&J is now running, started in the U.S. and shipped it to Australia, and she won a grade one down there. So, you know, we won the Saudi Cup, we were 1-2. The Dubai World Cup, we won with Country Grammar. And in Japan, Cafe Faro is a grade one winner. So it's international, and we couldn't be happier.
Well, you know, and I got to pause for 1 second on that War Front, because you said special pedigree, and it's very interesting that there's her, and then there's the Violence filly, because the War Front filly is out of a dam that got violence, violent beauty. This is Sky Beauty's family, if you go back to the fourth dam. So this is a hot page. And the violence filly, Bold Union, the dam with a nice stake horse. So Eddie Woods looks like he's going to start things off rollicking today. Very nice. The timing for me is always tough because we're right up on top of Derby and headed to Louisville on Saturday. But, you know, I talked to Gary Young last week, and Gary, you know, shops this sale seriously. And, you know, this is the opportunity for outfits to, you know, to really fill in their rosters.
Yeah, and I think the good thing also is you have such a variety of sires and physicals and region horses that fit different regional programs, and I think that just attracts such a broad base of buyers because of that.
You know, I'm just looking at some of those quick workers, and mostly Kentucky bred, a couple of Florida breds. There's a Sheet 2, certainly when I see that page, I think of the sale in March and the Chews, Susan Chew, you know, they're going to be active typically at this sale. So I'll make a prediction that colt ends up going to Bioma. this is hip 352. How many? What's the cutoff today, hip wise?
We go to 308, I believe.
308. Okay, so that one will sell early tomorrow. 352, and. You mentioned the Uncle Mo. I'm guessing that's the top line colt.
Yes. He breeds real well. He looks the part at the barn, and he was a relative high dollar pin hook, and everything. He jumped through all the hoops.
That's hip. That's hip 206 today.
10:30. Yep.
206. The feeds will start and really all over the internet today, obsales.com, and I'm sure, you know, based on March, Tommy, that you're gonna have a great 4 days. This one's a bit of a marathon, not a sprint.
No question. 7 days of breeze show, 4 days of sale. You know, by that fourth day of sale going through the ring, you know, everybody's looking for the exits, but it stays strong throughout, and even the people that can't stay the entire time, you know, they've already done their homework, and they, you know, even like you as a perfect example, you popped in here, looked at a few horses, you know, you can participate either on the phone or online, and that's one of the advantages to the way things are structured these days, and you know, we're really ready to get things going. I'm very excited, and hope it pans out. Sometimes, I mean, we're in a glass half full business as it is, but you know, everything's aligning properly. At least I hope so.
Well, I wish all the breeders, the consigners, the buyers, wish everybody the best of luck here the next 4 days, and we'll see how some of these get distributed around the country, and they'll be turning up. I mean, the two-year-old racing has already begun. We talked to Wesley Ward yesterday. Two-year-olds running already, and these will be, you know, some of the stars, obviously, of the summer and into the fall. Tom Ventura and OBS Sales. Best of luck, Tommy. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve. Enjoy the Florida weather. It's beautiful right now.
Not so bad here. We've been here. We got here Friday night, and I've seen a cloud or two. But otherwise, no. It's been delightful, and there was no twisting Tina's arm to come up there for, you know, to do 1 day of remote.
You did a little wet pit stop on the way.
Exactly. I'm not unhappy though at the beach in the afternoons. It's fine. This is okay. It's a pretty good deal. I may have to make this a regular plan.
your own version of a spring break.
Exactly, exactly right. But I'm on a short leash on that front.
there you go.
Thanks, Tommy. I'll talk to you probably later this afternoon. I see if I can't get some help from you on a horse we're interested in.
All right. Well, sounds good. Thank you, Steve.
Tom Ventura, everybody, and the OBS April, the spring sale that gets underway in an hour, 10:30, and you can follow on their website, but Blood Horse streams it, and DRF, and TDN as well. And in fact, we're going to keep a little bit on the sale conversation front, because Ray Handel's going to join us, and we'll see what Ray, I mean, you know, Ray isn't confined at all to New York breds by any means, but we'll see. We'll see what has caught his eye. And, you know, there's nothing better than winning a stake or having a maiden break on the eve of a sale. It raises everybody in the barn, you know, your other owners. It lifts everybody's spirits and gets them excited about about buying a horse. I mean, let's put it straight. And there's nothing better than winning, so that you've got a bankroll going right into, you know, going right into the sale, and certainly that is potentially the case with Ray. This Disco Pharaoh, this is exciting, and I'm curious about the backstory. I mean, I was curious, believe me, when we were watching the race, I was curious, you know, as Disco Pharaoh, you know, was up the length of the stretch. I wanted to know, you know, more. I mean, because that was some way to start the season with Disco Pharaoh. Ray Handel joining us on the heels of Disco Pharaoh's win, stake victory in the Frank Whiteley. Ray, congratulations!
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Ray, I was sort of vamping for a minute as Casey was reaching for you, because in the wake of that performance, we were third in the race with Shirzando. I immediately wondered, I mean, where did this horse come from, and where has he been hiding? Talk a little bit about that portion of the story.
Yeah, a little bit of a tough up and coming for him. The guys who own him right now, Prime Time, Thoroughbreds, and Blue Lion, had the horse in partnership with another group, and was with another trainer, and they were having trouble, you know, keep getting the horse going. He had really bad feet, you know, very sound horse, but feet were just really unproportioned, and horse ended up developing a quarter crack, and just constantly has foot issues. And the previous trainer said that, you know, this horse is probably not going to make it to the races. So my guys called me up and they said, Ray, you want to give it a shot with this horse? And I was like, heck yeah, send him on. So they bought out the partners and sent the horse to me. And it took him a little while to get him in. I got him in the routine and worked on his feet and just, did all of our good stuff that we do with him, and got the horse moving forward. And I could tell he had talent from the first time I breezed the horse. His first half mile, he did it so well, so comfortably, and he just skipped over the ground. And once we got the feet tightened up and everything, it was never an issue anymore. I thought he ran super up to in his first race, and he just kept on getting better. But we can elaborate about that more if you want me to.
Well, I'm curious on a few fronts, because he's an American Pharaoh out of a mineshaft mare, mm-hmm. and here he basically has run six and a half and seven furlongs, and yet mm-hmm. it sure looks like he'll stretch out. I mean, what's your thoughts on where you are with him right this minute? We should reiterate that he is a 4 year old. This is not a 3 year old.
4 year old, He got a late start. Yeah. My immediate plans would probably be, I thought the same thing as you when I saw him kind of kick clear like that. He does. He's got a tremendous amount of speed, but he looks like he can kind of go. You know, I think he might be able to go a little bit longer as well. But I think right now we're not going to get cute. I think we just bring him up. Let's do what's comfortable for him. Have the run happy at Belmont. It's a little close back. 4 weeks rest. The grade 3, 150,000. I think that'd be a nice little stepping stone. Or the Maryland Sprint. More ideal timing. It's 5 weeks from the win to pick the Thunder card. And it's a grade 3 as well. So I think either one of those spots would be a nice little stepping stone for him. So maybe down the line we try and experiment a little bit, but you know, you don't want to start taking steps forward and then try something new and take a step back. I just want to keep on progressing and you know, trying to improve him and move him up the ranks and stuff like that.
Well, what's notable is that in four starts, he is, from a figure standpoint, he has just gotten better and better. 69 buyer, 78 buyer, 88 buyer, and now the 91 buyer. So it with added maturity, he is a gelding. So you know, it's not like you're building a stallion resume. You really can cherry pick and
exactly.
Have a lot of fun with this horse. You know?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind a barn full of them like him. He's really a tough horse because, you know, those feet bite him and he doesn't care. You know, he'd run a broken glass, this horse. He's a stone cold runner, and I think he'll be able to make a lot of noise in that division. So I just want to do right by him, take our time, and hopefully we'll step up on a bigger stage. Hopefully you'll have me back on, asking me about a grade one win one of these days.
There you go. Whenever you want. Ray, give everybody one quick glance at Hoof Care. And when you say about the feet, there's so many different things that can go wrong. You know, there's thin hoof walls and horses that need glue-ons as an option. You know, explain to everybody how you deal with it, how you diagnose it, and you know, how you approach any variety of feet issues.
Yeah, so generally, I mean, I have a program that I like. You know, a horse like him that has you know, active things going on. We use a MagnaWave machine, which is like electric pulse, and he gets MagnaWave almost 3 days in a row, one day off. And that helps a lot with the inflammation, and any kind of things that might be going, active things that might be going on. I also have him on a supplement called Ferrier's Formula. And so for a normal horse with bad feet, they get that once a day, and he gets it three times a day, because his feet are so brittle and kind of disproportioned. And just having good people, Ian McKinley, who I'm sure everybody knows, the big brown guru, who worked his quarter crack. You know, I don't think that horse would have ever ran if it wasn't for Ian. He's very hands on. He checks on the horse every time he comes in town to New York, and he shoes and he gets him, you know, he gets him shot every 4 weeks, which we usually wait 30 days, but he's a 4 week type of horse, and he just stays on top of it. He has those special glue on pads that he uses that he kind of made himself. Just having the good people there and being attention to detail, and if anything doesn't look right, you know, we address it right away. You don't want to be a passenger with stuff like that, because, you know, feet are the first thing that hit the ground. They're not hitting right there. You can have problems everywhere else. So that's my attitude.
It an issue like this, and whenever this comes up, I always promise to have a farrier conversation. Is it inherent in the horse, or is it something that develops if you know, there's something that's missed early on when the horse is young?
No, there's definitely horses on claim horses, and you can tell they've got a bad shoe job, or maybe a less confident or talented blacksmith that's been working on them. In this case, it's just confirmation in the way the way he was made. But you know, you got to have talented people to work on a horse like him. Because I actually had him in Kentucky, so I didn't run him in Kentucky. I had him training down there, and he developed a quarter crack. So I had to ship him all the way back to New York to have Ian work on him. And I just said, you know what, we're going to keep this horse in New York from now on because he can run on dirt and turf, or dirt and poly. So I knew he was good on the dirt. That's why I brought him back up here just to make sure and keep Ian working on him and staying on top of those feet.
Well, and I'm just looking, Farrier's Formula, lifedatalabs.com for more information. The original hoof supplement, and it's basically a dietary supplement, and connective tissue, and it tries to basically looks like it's designed specifically for everything within the body of the hoof, the wall, the sole, the heel.
Integrity. Yep.
Mm-hmm. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, you really couldn't go wrong if you fed every horse in the barn that stuff. You'd be in good shape. It's a little expensive, so it's hard to put everybody on it too. You got to pick your battles, but you know, I have about 4 or 5 horses on it myself. So it's a great product, and it's definitely saved. It's not something that fixes them overnight, but once you keep them on it for a few weeks, you'll notice a change, and it long term, it keeps the integrity of the wall and the health of the hoof in really good shape, and that's been a big battle.
For those that can connect the dots, I mean, obviously this isn't a horse that was claimed, but it is a horse that switched outfits, and that's the same essentially a similar scenario as a claim. And so for those that don't understand how a horse improves in the care of another outfit, here's one of the answers, and it includes the trainer that goes to the owner and says, I can put him on this supplement, and it's going to be an extra $11 a day on your bill, right? I mean, that's what you're talking
about. Yeah, exactly. I told my clients, I said, listen, I built my career on these kind of horses. So I go when I first started training, I used to go around and I'd hit everybody up, and I'd ask for the for their B and or their C and D string, and let me show you what I could do. So, that's how I kind of got my start and got going.
I love it. Well, Ray, you're going to try to fill out the barn. You said you want a barn full of Disco Pharaohs. You got a chance. You got a chance to buy a few. What's your impressions of these next 4 days? I just talked to Tommy Ventura.
I mean, there are some really good horses, and there's some really good at every market. You know, I don't buy at the top, but you can see the high end market is going to be really strong. There's a great middle market, and so that's where I'm kind of knocking in the 7,500 to 50 range. And there's a bunch of talent here, and even at the bottom, there's really good horses that'll be really moderately priced in that 20 to 50 range. So I think everybody will be really happy here.
Who have you been impressed with, particularly? We always focus on the first crop types.
Stallion wise,
yeah.
It's funny, these. It's crazy because I do yearlings and then I come to the 2-year-old and training sales, and I must have looked at like 10 Bolt D'Oros that's made my final cut that March and this sale, and I didn't like one of them in as a yearling. It's just weird how they all change, and I think this might be a little bit to do with people not reselling, but I thought the Mendelsons looks really good as yearlings. Haven't seen as many here. I think everybody's kept them at home, so I think he'll really make a lot of noise this first crop. But those two stallions, I think, have been kind of standouts, and I don't think I'd be the only one saying that. I think it's pretty well known, not a very kept secret. So I think they'll be making a lot of noise on the track, and I think they'll be making a lot of noise at the sale.
We came to some of those same conclusions when we were there in March. Among the New York breds, will you pick off some New York breds too while you're there?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I can't tip my hand too much. You know, I'm sure there's.
Sure.
You know, not with the ego battle on the racetrack. Everybody here thinks they're the smartest guy in the room, so I'm sure nobody would give a crap about what I say. But there's definitely some New York Reds on the list here.
I love it. I love it. Well, right. Let me get some winners for some people this week too, because you've got some in leading up at Aqueduct starting Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that Valmont is back.
Yeah, I love
him. The fourth race on Thursday.
He's training so good. He's training so good. He's really. I think he's going to fire his big race right off the bench here. So I'm really excited about him. If I could give you one horse for the weekend, for the week so far, it'd be him. The 3X with Dealing Justice and Rosa Veloce kind of came up super salty. You know, you got Miss Brazil in there and Oksana for Tim Hills. That's a tough race. Both fillies are in real good form, so it'll be an interesting race tactically. There's a lot of speed in there, so be interested to see how that kind of unfolds. And then I have a horse that I claimed, BC Glory Days. He's in the maiden 40. He should be really good in that spot. He's doing well. I caught him, and he looks like a kind of a standout on numbers. So, he looks like he should be favorite based on just his figs alone. So. Yeah, I think we'll have a good strong week here.
Let me also fold in a question, because part of the Disco Faro story involved your operation at Turfway. What did you know? How has that worked for you the last couple of seasons? Obviously, you know, the big purse bump is attractive, but it also provided for a lot more competition over this past winter.
Yeah, it's tough there. I mean, there's no gimmies, that's for dang sure. But, you know, I enjoyed my time at Kentucky. I'll try again next winter. You know, obviously we had some things happen there, my assistant getting hurt. So we shut down the operation, but I think the purse is going to be even bigger next year, and I think they're going to finish that facility. It looks like it's going to be, you know, it might be the best place for our alternative to the dirt for racing. For a while here, and I think they're gonna draw horses from everywhere, even dirt horses. I think they want to stay up there. I believe that they're gonna go up to like 100,000 maiden specials, 100,000 allowance races, and so on. So they've done a great job. You know, I love Kentucky racing, and you know, I hope they can get back there this year.
You know, you mentioned the incident with Jose. Anything you can add?
He's Jose Mejia. Yeah, he's doing well. I was speaking with him a couple of days ago. He went down to Florida and did some stem cell therapy. He was pretty knocked out from it, so I haven't spoke to him since he got back. But you know, we're hoping to see some progress in the next 8 to 12 weeks, and you know, he can always go back. They have other things that we can help him with. I think they said like a hyperbaric chamber, and you know, he can go back again. We just got to get some more funding. So I'm thinking about putting together some kind of auction. A few of my clients and I were brainstorming maybe doing a live auction online and trying to raise up some more funds for him. But you know, he's a fighter, and he's gonna do all we're gonna do all we can for him. But as of right now, he's kind of in the same. You know, he's still paralyzed and not having any feeling from the waist down. But we're going to give it our best.
Well, keep me in mind when you are ready to, you know, announce something or you know, offer up a fundraiser. I know it raised 60,000, I remember, right in February.
Yes.
Pretty quick.
Yeah, we did. Everybody was so generous, and you know, my clients and the public and everybody was so giving, and we were super grateful for everybody's help, and you know, hopefully we can keep it rolling and you know, help him as much as he can. The Workman's Comp company has been amazing and accommodating him for everything, so you know, just super grateful for all the people doing what they can do.
I'm glad it came up. Ray Handel, best of luck. the next Thank 4 days. Bringing home some babies, and congratulations again to the whole team. And obviously, Disco Faro. Every week, there's been another 4-year-old that has emerged in a division. Whether it's long on the dirt, and now here's a horse that feels like he's going to shoulder his way into the sprint category and be a player. So continued success.
I hope you're right, Steve. Thanks, buddy.
Best of luck. Ray Handel, everybody. Handel Racing, HANDAL. Handel Racing on Twitter. If you're not following Ray, you should be. And we'll see Ray in New York when we get back. We're going to actually stay here for one more visit, and Hammy Smith is going to join us. Always look forward to talking to Hammy, and we've covered the Laurel Stakes extensively. It was kind of a blowout. The one we didn't talk about was Penny Baker's win, really, the 4-year-old filly for Godolphin and Stidham. This is a Medaglia d'Oro filly that is out of Macaroon, which is, of course, the family of Fast Cookie, right? I'm almost positive that's Fast Cookie's family, right? Here, we'll find out right away. Macaroon. Yeah. I love Fast Cookie. I absolutely adored. This is... and that's a big win, actually, for Penny Baker. It's funny. There was a full brother that did not make the races named Decadent. And there's a 3-year-old that hasn't made the racing made the races yet either. But Penny Baker with Evian Toledo won that Heavenly Cause. And I hear Hammy Smith in the background. And we got to talk about Luna Bell and her latest success. Hammy, 5 straight stake wins. She's a terror. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Hammy, she right now there's nothing in the region that looks like they can handle her.
Well, the ones here in Maryland, we've been kind of dominating. I have to admit, I don't want to brag and say she can't be handled, but so far she looks like she's the boss, right?
She's also a horse, Hammy. Talk about her development, because she really thrived with racing, and the more you kept leading her over there, the better she got.
Yeah. Well, the first couple races was on the grass, and the first time she ran, she broke terrible, and the boy just got a gallop around that, so to speak. And then the next time, she made a little improvement, and Jock came back and said, this little can run a little bit. I like her. And so we got on the grass, third start, and she run 9 and change and broke a maiden. So I knew she'd go for something special then. But she never really indicated that she was that good prior to that. But once she got on the dirt, she really excelled. She hadn't had a bad race since. No.
It's also notable that she also can win up close, or she can sit and come from off the pace.
Yeah. I like the way she ran her last race best. I prefer horses to come off the pace just a little bit, just stalking, so to speak. The race prior to this one, she got a little rank early with the boy, and she's up closer than I expected her to be. But, he got along with her well, and she went on and won. She can be up closer if we ask her to be. But I prefer leaning back a little bit and making a run at him. And she pretty much, she's push button. Whenever the boy wants her to go, he's asking, she takes, she responds.
Well, she also, and you can speak to this. I mean, speak to Denny Araujo, who clearly is getting along with her, terrific. It feels like, it feels like he's kind of the key in the ignition for her.
Yeah, they seem to be a good match. No doubt, you can't get much better than five in a row. So, he fits her well. He knows to fill in. You know, two races there, she got in those traffic, and he had to take her up on one thing or another. She's just good enough to overcome it, and she went on and won pretty easy. But, he fits her pretty well. The last race, like I said, was probably the best one all around. Where he handled her, and so forth. But he's done a good job, and we plan to stick with it.
Is this a rider that Gorey worked with?
No. He came from, I think he was riding mainly in Charlestown. I'm not sure what country he comes from, but told me he wants some. I mentioned that he never won a stake race before. I asked him, did he ever win one before? He said he won some back in his home country and so forth. So, but he was riding mainly at Charlestown before he came here. I ran into him down at Colonial Downs last summer. I was shipping the horses down on Sundays, and we were on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and I didn't have anybody to gallop down there. And he happened to come by and asked me to get on a couple, and he did, so I tried to pay him because I didn't know who he was, and he wouldn't take any money. And he was there every week to get on him if I wouldn't need him. And I just liked his attitude and liked his work ethic, and so I started using him on a few horses down there. And, he did good for me there as well. So we've been pretty much together ever since.
It's a winning combination. Again, I just looked him up a little bit. He's from Uruguay, and this is a good developing story. How you helped breed this one with the greens, and you trained that dam. That dam was a nice horse.
Yeah, she was nice with her. And Mr. Green wasn't crazy about the broodmare end of it, but I told him I'd go hack with him, and then he agreed to do that. So we bred her and been breeding her ever since. Mr. Green died about 2 years ago, but he was a big factor in the whole situation by keeping the mare and breeding her and so forth. Once he died, he gave everything to all the horses to his daughter, and she stuck with it. I didn't think she would, but she stuck with it, and she's having a good time.
Well, yeah, she's having a good time. She's got a filly here that has made $250,000 just this year, and almost $400,000 overall. Where do you go from here? I mean, this win could get you, obviously, a pass into the Black Eyed Susan. Is she that kind of filly?
Well, that's what we're going to try. We're going to find out, I guess. So we no more or less still on our home front by being, right at Pemico over here. That was the goal. Started two races back. We say, well, if everything works well, we take it step by step. And if she performs well, we'll take a shot at it. Black Eyed Susan, and once she won that other day, it's automatic bid. So we're gonna try it and try a little sip of confidence and see how she responds. But she came out of this race too bad, and she came out of the fine. So everything's pointing for the Black Eyed Susan.
Well, then I suppose that you're gonna hope that all those big Oaks fillies in Kentucky that they beat each other up and nobody wants to come to they don't turn around too often in 2 weeks anyway, so you really don't have to worry about the Oaks runners.
I don't think so either. There'll be enough competition otherwise, though. But I think you're right. Very few of them will turn around in 2 weeks. And, we just have to face whatever we face. And, she's going to be a mile and eighth. She's been stretching, taking it step by step. three quarters up to a mile and a 16th. So far everything works well. Hopefully we can continue on. We can see what the competition looks like, but that's where we're headed.
I love it, and I'm pulling. Let me see. I'm pulling up the. I want to pull up the Black-Eyed Susan and see who the. Let's see the last kind of really local outfit. That boy, it's been a while, really, since we had a particularly local. Wow, who would you say? I guess Khalifa with Buddy Delp and. Right? And Aztec yes. Hill with Tom Bohannon.
My goodness, been that long? Yeah.
Pretty much.
We got a lot to prove, don't we?
There's nothing, Hammy. There's never anything better than local, you know, Maryland outfits in the Black-Eyed Susan and in the Preakness.
No, you're right about that. You know, she's got a little bit of a following now already, so I'm still sure she'll have quite a few people pulling for her over there. So hopefully she'll go back to the track tomorrow, and hopefully everything will stay in place and we can make it over there for the Black-Eyed Susan.
Outstanding. Well, and excited for Deborah Green as well. And Hammy, let me ask you: you got some runners coming up Wednesday, Thursday at Laurel, who's live around here? Looks like you got a nice allowance runner in that Gentleman Joe on Thursday.
Yeah, he's pretty consistent. He should be in the mix. Put it that way. He's coming into the race good, and I've got it. I've got three young horses. They all been training pretty well, so I look for everything to run pretty good this weekend.
Nice. You got English Tavern too on coming up on Friday.
Yeah, I put him in there, and won't be any grass this week. We can see what happens with him in the next couple of days. I'm not sure if I'm running him or not. I've got some partners in with him, and we naturally want to put him on the grass and keep him there if possible, but we may just use this to make sure he's dead fit.
Very good. All right. Well, I'm just looking at that Low Country dude as well with Gory, right?
Right. Yep. Yeah, he's a big handsome son of a gun. He ran real well the first time out. He ran off the game race and ran him back, and I was a little disappointed in his performance. But came out of it okay, so we'll try him again, see what happens. But he wants to go long, and long on the better for him, I would think. Most of those gun that's what they like.
Well, and of course, this one is holding up the poster for South Carolina Breds.
Yeah. Well, we got some more coming, but right now he's kind of have to hold it up a little bit. we got the other little coach rolling me over. He's by the other stadium. He had that came up and passed away down there last year. But we just take him over there and hoping the best.
Well, I was a huge Done Talking fan and talked him up into the Derby that year, and anything that's good for Done Talking, I'm gets a thumbs up from me.
Yeah, man, he was a pleasure. I tell you, we didn't have much time between the Illinois Derby and the Kentucky Derby, and it told a tale on him. But he ran a huge race in Illinois, and then. He came up with some problems there after the Derby, and never had a chance to really show his true potential, you know, for his running around here and his minor stakes and stuff. But he's been a useful stallion for my brother down there. He throws some, you know, useful horses. So, that was an experience and a half, the Derby. Yes, it was.
Right? It was great. It was great getting you there. That was
yeah.
You know, everybody, like every horseman of your quality and the way everybody, you know, looks up to you, and you know, getting a chance to bring one to the Derby, it's, you know, special.
Yes, it is. I have to admit. Hopefully we can make the Black Eyed Susan, but that's the next big step. So we got the full brother to this filly coming up, and he looks the part. We'll see how he turns out. So yeah, it's fun to have a horse like this filly in the barn. I tell you, these boys, the outside riders and the grooms and everybody, they're a happy bunch.
Yep. It lifts everybody's spirit, no doubt. And you know, I knew I was going to call you this week because we're down. Tina and I are down in Florida for the week, and we drove right through Ellery. And I said to Tina, I said I should have thought. I've never stopped. I've never been to Aiken, and never been to the training center. So it inspired me, Hammy. I'm going to get a stop in at some point.
Okay, well, you have to do that. That'd be nice.
Everybody raves.
Exercise rider for done talking. Well, he's the same kid that got us this filly. So, and he's from Ellery. And he started out with my brother down there. That's about 8 or 9 years old, and been with us ever since.
Amazing!
It's like a family affair, so to speak. Yeah.
Well,
you have a good chance to stop by, and you should do so. That'd be nice.
I'm going to without fail, and I mean Kip Elser has urged me to come, and Carrie Frommer, and I got to put it on the list.
Yeah, they're all over there. Camden over there, that's real nice over there. It's a nice thing.
Yep.
Well. Yeah.
Hamilton Smith, everybody, Hammy Smith with Luna Bell, and streaking toward the Black Eyed Susan, and you'll be the big story. You'll be the big story for Friday on Preakness Weekend.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I hope we can live up to the expectations. We'll try.
She's doing it for sure. Luna Bell, everybody. The Great Notion filly, and co-bred by the Greens and Hammy. And Hammy owns her with Deb Green. So, Hammy, keep her healthy and happy, and we'll see you in Baltimore.
Yes, let's hope so. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Not at all. Hamilton Smith, everybody, the great Hammy Smith. Let's take a break. Top of the hour is upon us. In fact, actually, it's a little past the top of the hour. I'm going to take the break here and connect with John Dooley. It's opening day at Horseshoe Indianapolis. You got to get used to saying Horseshoe Indianapolis. from Indiana Downs to Indiana Grand to Horseshoe Indy. So lock it in into your memory bank. Back after this, At the Races, Sirius XM.
Racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning. Learn more at countrylifefarm.com.
Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. Four brand new races to be run at parks for PA-sired, PA-bred two-year-olds. There are two $100,000 contests on August 22nd, PA Day of the Races. September 24th, PA Derby Day, has two more races, each with a $200,000 purse. The PA Stallion Series. Yet another reason why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race. For more, please visit PABred.com.
Get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry?